Say, Father, that in regard to the future location, logistical location of this assembly, your will be done in the disposition of this property. We have enjoyed so many years, so many decades of worship here, Father, and I'd like to continue that. But all of these things, Father, are in your sovereign, benevolent plan. Now, Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture, the study of your life, we pray that your Spirit will open our ears and our eyes, we might see and hear the things that you would have us to see and hear, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Some time ago, in my studies, God working out a way in which to communicate spiritual love. I hope I've been studying spiritual love and teaching it for some time, and I hope that I'll do this the rest of my life, that there will always be areas of spiritual love from Scripture that we will be orienting ourselves to and understanding and seeing. To me, it's that important. It's where we live daily in our lives. It's where we will spend eternity, is in His love. In the communication of spiritual love, God opened up the understanding for me, and I think it has just worked so well in seeing so many passages of Scripture and being able to communicate it. That's what we look for, is in a communicative vehicle, when you communicate something where you continue to teach about it. If every Sunday was a different subject, or every few Sundays a different subject in every class, and no momentum in any one thing like that, you don't need something like this. But for the communication of any biblical subject where you're going to continue to work through it, God has given me what I think is just a wonderful way of understanding these things, and that is understanding divine love, but we're dealing with spiritual love as it deals with the Holy Spirit having a flow through a new spiritual creature and having a spiritual impact. So we've designated it as spiritual love, and we've dealt with the title and why we've called it that. We've come to understand spiritual love as a spiritual force. And that has really helped us, I think, in seeing a lot of the things about spiritual love. Something was interesting in yesterday's paper. I love Monday's paper. It gives section on science and section on health, but something interesting in regard to this, and I'm not going to in any way begin to bore you with this long article, but just a few little sentences here and there to convey what I want to just introduce our study tonight. The title of the article in yesterday's Dallas Morning News, Physics Model Earns Promotion to Theory of Matter. And the article is just a great article, and written where we can understand it. You don't have to have a PhD in physics to understand. Yes, there are things we would definitely miss that someone more trained will hit, but they write these things where we can at least grasp some things. And just moving through, skipping things, because it's not like building something out of it that's not there. So there's in one part, for much of the last century, physicists have sought a theory that could explain nature's particles and forces. What the article is dealing with, and what the physicists are dealing with, is they're dealing with matter, and in fact, this whole thing is dealing with theory, theory of matter, and that's one title, and another physicist has the title for this thing. And what is funny is they're arguing over semantics, or arguing over names that they're going to give this thing, and I thought that was rather interesting. One calls it, quote, standard model, and then it goes through where this other man says he doesn't like it. It seems to me that by now this name no longer does justice to what has been achieved, says MIT physicist Frank Wilczek. Far more grandeur names have been used for far less substantial achievements. Let's change the name of the Standard Model, he suggests, to the Theory of Matter. So we're dealing with Standard Model or Theory of Model. What are they dealing with? What they're dealing with, and why I'm even bringing all this up, they're dealing with, if you've got particles or matter, and breaking that matter down into even particles, and breaking even particles down into the atoms, as the article's going to do, because they're going to use these great big atom smashers and to develop a lot of these things. And here's what we're working on. They're working on. They're working on the how and the effect and the understanding of how force, I'm going to draw this the wrong way now, how force goes through the particles and what happens in the conveyance of the force as it hits and conveys with the particles. Now, reading this, it says, for much of the last century, physicists have sought a theory that could explain nature's particles and forces, how they are related, how they interact. In other words, how the particles carry the force, how the force affects the particles as they go through, and these kinds of things to make things happen, whatever's going to happen out here. I like to be going this way, but how things happen out here, what goes on. And so these are the things that they're working on. Toward the century's end, the pieces of such a model came together in what everyone imaginarily calls the Standard Model of Particle Physics. It describes all the known particles of matter, all the known forces, and the particles that transmitted those forces. So these are the types of things they're working on. This illustrious theory of matter is really a synthesis of several smaller theories that merge to make a grand picture of how nature works. A grand picture of how nature works. I believe, I believe we are about to experience a new golden age in fundamental physics. And I have some other things here to mark, but that's enough. Okay. Fundamental Fundamental physics. Okay. Fundamental. Not the fundamental part of what makes it work. And as I was thinking through the work that we do on spiritual love, what is the force that we study? What is this force? Spiritual love. Okay? So love is this force. Now, what are the particles through which this force is transmitted? Us. Believers. You, spiritual creation. Now, what is interesting, let's see if I can pull it right out of here, if I underlined it or not, some of these things I did. The dark matter spaces goes through. Anyway, they talk about the summary effects of the United Theory of Gravity. Gravity is a great big problem in all of this problem, in all of these things. But there's a section in here that deals with, I just got a long line, I can't, time to read through it, is also how or what transmits the force through these particles. So here's the force, the spiritual love for us. Here are the particles, the new spiritual creatures. Now, who or what transmits this force through the particles of the new spiritual believer? Holy Spirit. Great. Enough. It is the Holy Spirit playing its part. And then, of course, what we're looking at here, when the outcome of the force of all of these, that force working on and through these particles, are all of the impacts and all of the effects of spiritual love that we're in the midst of dealing with. And what I like is, how does all of this work? Does the Holy Spirit transmit all of this into the soul, all these kinds of things. People, we don't know. This is one of the most beautiful things that Paul points out. It's understanding. It's beyond understanding. You're not going to understand spiritual life. It was so beautiful in reading all of these previous things that the understanding, that's what they're trying to work with, these fundamental things. All of this works and comes together for the grand picture and how it all fits together. If we don't know, and we're not going to know, what we do know is the process of transmission through us, and it has impact to it. But it's fundamental. We don't need to go to any great, deep, advanced teaching with all of the eschatologies and ecclesiologies and prophecies and everything else that play their part in all of this. It's of the spiritual life, of the Christian life, and what we're about, because in all of that, God is love. This is what God is. God is love. And what you have the privilege of being is this particle, and this basic fundamental particle. And we're still arguing. Theologians like to argue, are we dichotomous, trichotomous? If we're trichotomous, did we have a human spirit that lays dormant and is just waiting to be activated? Fun stuff to argue about. But see, all of this is dealing with the theory of matter, the theory of the particle, trying to understand how the human spirit works. And everybody's going to have their ideas. And so we want to divide. Well, I like this idea. I like that idea. All these things we're dealing with are theory of matter. We have inside this new spiritual creature, we have several things that are invisible. We have a soul that is invisible. We have something dealing with and dealing with a human spirit. And how the human spirit and the human soul, how those two invisible, real aspects or entities, how they deal with interact, and then how the Holy Spirit interacts with them. And then the soul, with all the makeup of the soul that you and I understand is the mind, conscience, and all the things that make up the soul, and the things that make up the human spirit, how the Holy Spirit influences all of these things. You get so lost in all of that. You get so lost in all of that. What we want to understand here is we're dealing with a basic force called spiritual love, transmitted by the power of God, third member of the Godhead, that God causes this force to come inside of us when we're walking by faith. And that's another aspect, fundamental. What causes it? Not what causes it, but how do we allow ourselves to be the transmitting particle of this force coming out to the world with all of its impacts and effects of this. This is where you and I sit in. We are this new spiritual creature. We are the particle. We are the matter that transmits all of this, that the Holy Spirit passes it through us. What happens when it hits? All the things that happen, first of all, first and foremost, I might add, what happens to us when this love is flowing through us? What's the environment inside of you? Not just what happens on the impact and effect outside, what's the impact and effect inside? When the Holy Spirit takes the force of this love and transmits this love, boom, inside of our soul. What are the things that happen? Well, one of the things that happens is kindness. Long-suffering. Kindness is outside. Long-suffering that we've been studying. It's one of the first things that makes us strong. It's a lot of things this force does. And that's what I'm trying to do, is to communicate to you how important this of what love does, what spiritual love does. And just as these men in their whole lives, and men before them, men after them, their whole life to dealing with the fundamental thing, I have no problem spending my life. What am I going to say? With many of the other doctrines. But this is what God is. This to me is fundamental theology, fundamental to our whole life and our whole being with God, is the transmitting of this force to the believer when he's filled with the Spirit. By it has boom inside of it, and then realize that it has outside. Books, we have Christians writing books. Sex. It must be man, and man deal. It must be a lot of things, and yet fundamental physics. It's not that at all. Fundamental theology. It's a spiritual life. So, to me, this is what we're doing. Fundamental theology of love. Fundamental theology of our lives and what's going on in our lives. I know of nothing more important. I know of nothing more fundamental Christian life than a love out of Holy Spirit. It's when it takes inside of love inside of me, waking up and causing things to happen that it makes me wrong. And then coming out and causing an impact and effect in our homes, in our houses, marriage, cars, traveling, work, social life, everywhere we go, there's a powerful thing going on with the effect, this race with the love. So this is why we're this will be going through some aspect. It's fundamental. Nothing to be studied, to be made aware of day in and day out is that I want love. So I want it to occur. And it just affects every area of life. We're studying the love triangle now. This is reality. Why is it reality? Because people got it. Therefore, love is the ultimate. Therefore, this is reality when it's flowing through and in us and coming out. It should influence everything that we think about, everything we deal with. Listening to while driving. Big program. Lasted over an hour. I didn't get to listen to all of it. Dealing with people that are previous President Clinton pardoned on his last day, and all of the turmoil. Well, what that brought in were lawyers and people to deal just pardons and pardons in general are granted in terms of our country and our government. What is a pardon and why pardons and what does a pardon just mean and all these types of things. Now, the point of and understanding the things that I have to deal with and dealing with one another day in and day out. People, we are all pardoned here. And what came to me was so clear is that a couple of the men were going through all the reasons why one of the men could not have been pardoned and going on and on and on. And I think that this is the same kind of the result that I got, same kind of response that I got when we talk about people like Hitler being saved or not being saved. People like, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, people like, sister, the nun,
Teresa,
not being saved. And people get all, oh no, there's no way that God could save Hitler. He is just, he's too bad. Too bad to pardon. And I got things, I think that sometimes Christians might just too bad, like Hitler, to be pardoned at the cross. The people, all of us are pardoned at the cross. And there's no difference between a Hitler and any of us. All of our sins are desperately evil. And it was pure, pardoned. Then you go through the whole understanding of what does a pardon mean? Why are people pardoned? And how fundamental it flows into the Christian life. That one of the things that they were talking about is that there should be some type of deserving of being pardoned. That the person being pardoned in some way deserves it. And I think that has a lot to do with the way Christians fundamentally think also. Some type of a deserving of being forgiven, because pardon doesn't mean forgiven. They brought that out. Thought that was interesting. It means forgiven. And so I think Christians deal with the same type of deal until we understand that this is what happened to every one of us. And I thank God that He pardoned. And I mean pardoning it absolutely. He just takes no matter what and writes off. And while that does not make very many Christians happy, it should make all of us rejoice, because it includes us. It includes us. So what was the whole of the force of spiritual upward movement to our whole life? Well, I can see that just excited y'all to no end, and y'all just want to run home and get the article and read it. But it did me, and I wanted to just go over that aspect as another way of communicating some of these things. Okay, where are we? And I study of this great force called spiritual life. Is it the only teaching of this? No, people. Another pastor could teach the same truth in another way, the Spirit different. This is what the Spirit has given me to communicate spiritual life. It's not the only, it's not the perfect one or anything like that. It's the one that He gave me. And I can just see it flow in so many passages of Scripture. Okay, where are we? First of all, Roman numeral 1, we've already studied the forces that press on our spiritual life. So we took up the forces that press on spiritual life. Why love must be long-suffering. Long-on-suffering. Love suffers. Now, how long will love suffer if spiritual love is long-suffering? Then point two, these forces. Under this, we took up, we defined long-suffering. The property of long-suffering and spiritual love is a force. Property of long-suffering is immune system, which just excited y'all. I remember that. One night I thought it was just going to be myself here. And then the fourth thing was the protective impact of long-suffering of love, how it protects us in our own life and protects our spiritual life, our spiritual relationship. Okay, we finished that one. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 3. We're going to let that start tonight. And remember, why spiritual love is long-suffering. Why spiritual love is long-suffering. Why spiritual love is long-suffering. One might think we have answered that, in a way we have answered why God's love that He has given to us, which is His own love, why this love is long-suffering. The very makeup of it is long-suffering. It doesn't choose to be. And what I mean by that is, God does not choose to be long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. You don't choose to be long-suffering to someone. Husband, wife, children, friends, whatever it might be. If spiritual love is flowing through, you are long-suffering. Does that make sense to you? You don't choose this. If love is present, love is long-suffering. That's why I keep encouraging you, going back and remind you the verse. The subject that we're dealing with is spiritual love. Love is long-suffering. It doesn't say you are long-suffering. It doesn't say I am long-suffering. It doesn't say the believer in Christ is long-suffering. The subject is love. When love is flowing through you, you may not even want to be long-suffering, but there's nothing you can do about it. I think one of our illustrations in the verse, I know it was in our verse dealing with, be not filled with wine, for the wine is drunkenness, and be filled with the Spirit. You don't choose to be drunk. You may choose to drink. But being drunk is not a mental decision. You put this side of you, it's going to happen. You may not even want it to happen. You don't want to walk a crooked line. You don't want to stammer in your speech. You don't want to wreck your car. You don't want to act like the jerk that that people are when they drink. Some people are. You don't choose that. When alcohol or these chemical substances go through our body, they do what they're designed to do. Be filled with the Spirit. You don't choose to be long-suffering. This is what love, the force of love, does inside of you. This is what the fruit of the Spirit will do. When the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, when He pours into you His fruit, be filled with the Spirit. Remember, that can be taken one of two ways in the Greek. It can be taken, be filled with the person of God, or God, the Holy Spirit, is the one filling us up. In other words, that illustration, you go to the filling station, fill it up with regular. Okay, what do you want me to fill it up with? And you say, well, I would fill up with the hose. I would be filled with the hose then. So that type of thing. So the Holy Spirit, people, and you and I don't have any choice then. Ours, the choice comes down to one thing, faith. Will you trust the Holy Spirit? Will you trust the Holy Spirit? You trust the Holy Spirit, boom, He goes to work. That's why it's not our work. It's His work. If you've got to make a decision to be long-suffering, it's my work. It's my doing. But I don't choose to be long-suffering. The only choice I make, and you make, is a faith decision to trust the Holy Spirit. Then the rest is up to the Holy Spirit, people. And it's so hard for Christians to understand. It's so hard because they want to be part of the equation. People, our part of the equation is the faith part. That's all that you and I are part of this deal, is the faith decision. Do you have the, are you going to trust the Spirit or are you not? If you trust the Spirit inside of you, it's not you anymore. It's Him. It's His fruit. And we're studying the fruit of His love right now. So please understand what's going to happen inside of us. We're looking at the spiritual love, long-suffering. It is a quality, a characteristic of this love to be long-suffering. What is there about spiritual love that causes it to be long-suffering? Can we break it down that far? I think we can a little bit. Kind of coming from a science thing. Can we smash it in our smasher and find out what's really happening here? Well, we'll get an idea of some of the things here. Human love may or may not be long-suffering. In fact, the love of most people is not very long. You can ruffle their love fairly quickly. And end in divorce, end in a lot of things we have had, and cut you off and cut you out and all this type of thing. But God's love is long-suffering, as the history of the world demonstrates to us. So while human love is not very long-suffering, spiritual love is long-suffering. So let's take a look at some of the things that we can as to why spiritual, what is it that makes this love so long-suffering as it comes through me. I want to know why this is happening inside of me, this characteristic, this quality of this force of spiritual love inside of me. Because this is where it takes place, is inside of you. We'll come to what happens outside of you when we come to kindness. Boom, something happens outside. But boy, when God, the Holy Spirit, pours this force of love inside of you, if it's present, some things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. This is a force that you just can't stop. Things are going to happen. You're going to be long-suffering. And you're not going to look good. People, well, wait a minute. You should be doing this. You should be doing this. It ought to be justice. It ought to be this. It ought to be that. When a pardon doesn't ask anything about the legalities and all of this type of thing. Done. It just takes them off, pushes them aside. what makes some people upset. That's all of their wrong, all these things. There's no way of handling it. Oh, if we could go through and work it out where they deserve to be pardoned and all of that, it would be nice. But a pardon is a pardon. Boom. It's done. It's done. You may not like it, but it's done. And I admired Bush today. Did you hear what he said about those pardons?
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to deal. I'm not even interrupting an executive privilege, a pardon that has been going on since the foundation of this country. And I'm not going to pass judgment. I support all pardons by any president.
It's a done deal.
Done deal. So we're looking at people understand this whole aspect of it that is not going to make sense to other people, because I want to try to make it work with justice, and I want to try to make it work with the law. I want to try to make it work with the dignity of man. People don't have no dignity. Has no dignity. One of the biggest cries about the Democrat, a person, the dignity of going to do these things because of the dignity of man. Man has no dignity. But for a Christian, we should do the same kinds of things that we're criticizing because we do have a reason. What is our reason? Our reason is God. And our reason for us personally is what's going on inside of us. First of all, one. I remember what we're looking at is, what is it? Why is spiritual love long-suffering? What is there about spiritual love that causes it to be long suffering, so that I can understand why, when I am filled with the Spirit and I'm long suffering to somebody that I know in my flesh nature, I'd like to see them. So, what's going on inside of me? Okay. First of all and foremost, spiritual love is the love of God, it is God's love. We simply call it spiritual love to talk about where it is and where it's coming through. Distinction, we call the love of God divine love. And then we talk about human love. We're talking about spiritual love. This is a love that can communicate. This is a love that goes from the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual, through a new spiritual creature, therefore spiritual, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, therefore spiritual love, and has a spiritual impact. But it's God's love. It's the way God loves. The whole Bible is a demonstration of God's long-suffering love. His whole history with Israel. People, his whole history with the church. The church is beautiful. Amazing people. They don't understand the tribulation. Second half of the tribulation, not even the first half. To be Christian. And you can just say it's really been rough and in this century and things have really been rough and bad and bad and bad. Go, you want to have fun? Go back and study the Inquisition. Go back and study the Inquisition. Now you're getting to close to what really bad is. When fine people are just taken out of their homes in the middle of the night and burned on stakes just because they're Christians. Just because they're not the kind of Christian, or they're Jews, or they're this, or they're that. Oh, people, things have been a lot rougher than we can think about in our time. Things are, oh, the world's getting so bad. No. It started off with one brother killing another brother, cutting his throat wide open. It's just gotten from there. And it's had hot spots in it. Don't even think about it. Just give thanks, you're not going to be here for it. Just be give thanks, you're not going to be here for the tribulation, the real tribulation, when it really starts. So, what do I say? God's love has been so long with the church. So long suffering with the church. Now, I don't know about you, so I won't incriminate you or judge you. He's been talking about you. He's been long-suffering with Israel. you can learn something. If you'll examine in your life, these days are not in the limited spirit what has been done to you. So just, we want to get, but this is the characteristic of God's love. Spiritual love is the manifestation of God's love. Therefore, when we love with spiritual love, what are we doing? We're imitating Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the pattern of whom? God the Father. So the love that's coming through you, while I emphasize that we're being transformed into the image of Christ, who is he in form of? He's the form of God. You're going back to the image of God. You want to be in the image of God like you were in the garden? Have this love flow through you. Have the impact of this love flow through you. When other people don't even understand what's happening. So the first thing about this love that makes it long-suffering, people, is God's love. And I could stop right there. That explains it. It's God's love. Point two. It's Christ's love. It's Christ's love for all mankind. It's Christ's love for the church. Christ's love was long-suffering. Christ's love was long-suffering. Therefore, if you're going to imitate the love of God, the love of Christ, then you are going to have long-suffering of love. The long-suffering of love. Let me spend a little time with a few verses. Let's look at Ephesians for a moment. Look at Ephesians. This is the most, and I want to word it this way to you, and word it this way that it might shock you and cause some problems and as to what a most ridiculous command. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Is a God. Now, how many of you can imitate God? I can imitate God. I'll do an imitation of God. Let's see you get up on stage and do an imitation of God. I know what most Christians would have in that imitation. How can we imitate God? People love. What does that tell you? Geometry, simplicity. God is beyond understanding. And we're going to imitate God. How are we going to imitate? In verse 32 of chapter 4. And what is love? Love is kind. Be kind to one. Chapter break. Haters of God, forgive as he forgave. An offering to God as a friend. Okay. So, point two is this love is long-suffering because this love it's the love that he had, and therefore it's the love that we're going to have. Let's look at Romans chapter 2 a moment, please. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2. Look at verse 4. That the kindness of God leads you to repentance. What is the kindness of God and the love of God? The giving of his Son. getting of his son. Let's look at John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. Verse 34. New commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Why is this love long-suffering? Because the love that Jesus Christ has loved us with is long-suffering love. It is a long-suffering love. And First John, not 1, but chapter 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Let's look at verse 16. So here the object of faith is love. It's what I found in Scripture that is specifically specified as the object of faith in both Old and New Testament. No specific attribute can I find. And I've looked in every way I can with the computer, dealing with faith, belief, those kinds of our faith. Let's continue reading. And I believe the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one abides in him. But if love is perfected, confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So we're not going to be heavy fear to judgment. We are in the beloved. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. I love God and hate his brother. He's a liar. No, I'm not. Now, God and I over here, but both just believe it. The next. You're lying. Someone says, I hate his brother. He's a liar. Cannot love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Simple. This commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love him. So, this love is the love of Christ. So, first of all, the aspect of the makeup of the long-suffering of love, why? Is because it is the love of God. Two, it is the love of Christ. Three, when we love others as Christ loved us, we are occupied not only with the person of Christ, and how he loved us. How he loved us. This is love, long suffering. As we see how he loved us, we know how to love others. His love set the precedent for love. We see how Jesus Christ loved and that flowed through us. And not that kind of love. What is what's missing in my kind of love when if I look at Christ's love and I look at the way I'm loving? What happens? All of Jesus, all of the cross, all of God, keep our eyes on Him and on righteousness, and justifies everything we want to do to one another. That's not in love. I could teach you this way, do with you this way. My thoughts, everything, what it's in me, what it's going to be, that's what this person's done. Because it was taken care of at the cross. It can be taken care of justice, righteousness, and in all the terms. And yet, love. What we're doing is we're looking the way we deal with other people. We're occupied with one. We're occupied not only with love, but how do we love me personally? Love one another as I have loved you. So if we're going to love, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Happening in transmitter, this matter that meaning us, that this one thing that's going to happen to that when I am walking in the power of the Spirit, He is going to be with the law. I deal with each other in law. I can deal with. I got the. Something happening in. We start seeing ourselves deserves of love. Okay, we'll start with number four next. Questions? Quick question. As far as I'm concerned, but I got to be respectful. Stacy! Heavenly Father, brought us once again. No, I know this. Understanding what lies behind even our faith is knowing you. All of these things, Paul's made it understanding. Thank you. of this land. All things are hope. Is it for the God you are? Assembly.